A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's Bud Pod 117.
117, Lucky Number 7. Have you seen Lucky Number 7? Good film.
Lucky Number 7 was surprisingly popular. You know how like random movies are just popular at your school?
Yeah.
And you think, what about this one film that like over the course of my life, I won't meet that many people who are like super into it. It just took hold among a minimum number of 14-year-olds, you know?
Yes. Yes, I know what you mean. We in my boarding house, just in our room, my roommate just got us really into Green Street Hooligans, that film. Did you ever watch that film?
Yeah, that was big in some guys at my school's boarding house were. Two of them in particular were big fans of Green Street.
Green Street with Elijah Wood as an American and an English actor playing a Millwall. I think it's Millwall, right? Millwall fan.
Yeah, well, he's English, but he's from Yorkshire.
Yeah, he's from Yorkshire. He has to do a Cockney accent. And it makes... His Cockney accent makes Dick Van Dyke look like a chimp. Look like Harry... What's his name? That football manager. He makes Dick Van Dyke look like a real EastEnder. That's all I'm trying to say. Because this guy's accent is so bad. It's laughable. But I remember when I was watching Harry Redknapp. When I was watching Green Street Hooligans as a 14, 15-year-old, I was like, wow, what an authentic look behind the screen of the firms, the football firms. God, this is so authentic and real. I thought yeah. Such a good movie, and I think I watched like a little bit of it maybe 2 years ago, and it is unwatchable. It is laughable. There's a great supercut of the guy who plays the main guy doing a Cockney accent that is just hilarious. No. It's so bad.
What do you think Elijah Wood thinks of it in hindsight?
I bet he's forgotten he did it. Although he's not done many films, has he, really?
No. Well, it'd be funny if you showed him a screening of it and it was like in a movie where someone's lost their memory and they're like, who are you? Where did you get this? He's just freaking out. I've never been to London. What?
Green Street,
yeah. And the bit of Lucky Number 7, if it's what I'm remembering, there's a bit where Bruce Willis kills someone and leaves them on a chair.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, isn't it?
I think, yeah. There is that sort of thing in there. It's very good.
Yeah,
it's
referred to in the movie as the Kansas City Shuffle.
The way he kills the guy.
Yeah, leaving a dead guy in a chair at a bus stop.
Oh.
Let me look it up. Hang on. Kansas City.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Lucky Number 7. Yeah, it's Bruce Willis. Yeah.
And Josh Hartnett.
Yeah. It's... Oh, okay. The title of the tune refers to an advanced form of a bait-and-switch confidence game. Okay, so it is a real thing. Oh, wow.
What's a real thing?
In order for the Kansas City Shuffle.
Right.
As in it's a real, like a con, like three-card Monty.
Yeah, but specifically to do with leaving a dead body in a bus stop.
No. I'm about to tell you what.
Okay.
Hang on. So, in order for the confidence game to be a Kansas City Shuffle, the mark must be aware that he is involved in a con, but also be wrong about how the con artist is planning to deceive him.
Wow.
Two layers.
Wow.
The con artist will attempt to misdirect the mark in a way that leaves him with the impression that he's figured out the game and has the knowledge necessary to outsmart the con artist. But by attempting to retaliate, The Mark unwittingly performs an action that helps the con artist to further the scheme.
This sounds so complicated. It sounds too difficult. I could never be a con man.
It's not that complicated. It's just going like, what's brown and sticky? I know this joke. Poo. No, a stick. It's just swapping the answer depending on what they say, you know. So, okay. the title refers to a situation where the con man bets the mark money. He can't identify what state Kansas City is in.
Right, okay.
So the mark, guessing that the con man was hoping to trick him into saying Kansas,
right,
says the most famous Kansas City, Missouri, as his answer.
Right.
So, like, I know what you're doing. I'm going to say Missouri. And then the con man then reveals there is a much less well-known Kansas City in Kansas, actually.
Right, right, right.
So that's how you do it.
So the Kansas City show is specifically to do with this question.
Well, the question...
It's just an example, is it?
Is the most famous example from which the trick gets its name and is referenced in a famous song.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's like, nuclear physics level complicated.
No, it's...
But we didn't know about any of this shit. I didn't know it even had
Ocean's
a Wikipedia page. 11. It does.
Have you seen Ocean... We've spoken about Ocean's 11 and, Don Cheadle's... I'm speaking of bad Cockney accents.
Oh my God, yeah.
Wow.
I mean...
Don Cheadle's accent.
Why did they make him Cockney? Did it not enter their head that there are black people in England? Do you remember when we were in America with our friend Jason, who is from England and black, and Americans just could not fucking believe it?
I think I've heard this before from black British people, that when they go to America, black Americans lose their mind. Americans in general lose their mind.
Yeah. Stephen K. Amos had that routine.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But it's real. I mean, obviously it was a funny routine, and you go, oh, whatever, haha, I'm sure it's based on reality. But when we were there with Jason, it was genuinely like, I swear we were we were just having like food outside of a restaurant once, and people like came up to us to talk to us about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think in Boston.
Right, maybe. Oh my God.
But people would like look over at us.
Oh my
like,
God.
Did you hear those guys? Did you hear how they sounded?
Hey, Pierre. Guess who's got two thumbs, and one thumb is quite painful because he got a vaccine injected into that arm. This guy. I've only managed one thumb, actually.
They injected it under your thumbnail like you're a heroin.
Yeah.
Was it the only vein they could find, Phil?
I said I'll only take Bill Gates' microchip if he puts it in my thumb, so that I can at least use it to like get through the barriers at the underground with my thumb, like bloop.
Yeah, you can Apple Pay.
That's
using
right.
your thumb. If the waiter says that'll be £100, you just thumbs up. Boop. As you agree to it with a thumbs up, it's paid for. Everyone's delighted.
And I have to say, it was such an uplifting experience.
Yeah?
It really was. And you know what, Pierre? I felt so happy and so proud to be British, being administered a German-Turkish vaccine by European national nurses.
What nationality was your nurse?
There were two people. There was the lady who met me and like talked me through some stuff. And she was maybe Spanish or Mediterranean.
Maybe Spanish.
And then another guy came in with a real swagger.
Yeah.
He was a black guy, but he had an accent that was maybe Frenchy, so maybe like from a French-speaking country in Africa. I wasn't sure, or just from France, or somewhere completely else. I have no idea.
It could be from like France or Senegal. Or...
Yeah, something like that. But he really, like, he swaggered in and he, like, so sat down and he just, like, kind of nodded at her. He was like, she asked you the questions? I was like, yeah. Like, I was being interrogated by the police. and then he's like, are you happy to get Pfizer? And he's, like, really, like, serious about it. And then he got up and asked me what it's like, are you right-handed? And I was like, what? And she's like, are you right-handed? And he wasn't exactly like that, but he did have to repeat it. And I was like, yeah, I'm right-handed. And he was like, well, let's go with the left arm, shall we? And I was like, okay, this is intense. And then he went for it in the old left arm there. And then he just swaggered out of the cubicle. Like, he was just dropping in. Like each cubicle was a saloon in a Western. But yeah, went right in. It wasn't as painful as I was so looking forward to it and getting the jab. But it always happens when I get an inoculation. The 5 minutes beforehand, my mind just goes, "You're gonna get a needle in your arm. You're gonna." And I've never had a problem with needles. Until the 5 minutes before, my body suddenly goes, "What the fuck are you doing? You're gonna get a needle in your arm." I'm not afraid. Really? Yeah. Then I can feel my arms start to, like, tense and tingle a bit, and I have to, you know, just calm down and pace myself.
Really? Has that always been the case?
I get a little panicky in medical situations, but only right before the thing is going to happen.
Okay, well,
do you not get anything at all?
I think maybe when I was small, but, like, I kind of willed myself to, like, if I get my blood taken for a blood test, I watch them push that thing in there.
Boy. Really? No, I don't.
Watch it go in, and I watch that little tube fill up with dark, dark blood.
Bloody hell. So if you get a jab in your shoulder, are you looking over at your shoulder to watch the needle go in?
Yeah, I want to make sure I get my money's worth.
That's fucking nuts. That's weird.
Do you know what's weird is, like, if I get my blood taken for a thing, I watch them put it in, and then I watch my blood start to fill up the little tube.
I don't like watching that.
Well, so, like, my thing, I think mine might be, like, a disguised disliking it, because watching it happen, my mind is, like, so overwhelmed with the fact that I'm just a tube of blood.
Yeah, that's unpleasant.
But then, like, my first instinct is to laugh like the fucking Joker.
By the way, like the Joker is this podcast's catchphrase. I don't even realize that.
Do you think?
Yeah, we say it so much. We say something and we go, what, like the Joker? We say it all the time.
I think it's our generation's, like, try hard edgelord
right.
reference point, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else would laugh at watching their own blood pour out of their arm?
Like an Irvin Welsh character, maybe?
Yeah, an Irvin Welsh character. He'd laugh in Scottish dialect.
Yeah. Hey, hey, hey. Like H-A-E, H-A-E.
Ho, 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 H-A-W, maybe.
But yeah, I got Pfizer for Phil. Bang in the left shoulder. And Filzer. I got Filzer BioNTech. And my shoulder caned for a day. Like,
really?
Really hurt. Like, yeah. I woke up in the middle of the night, like, oh, like, my shoulder was just hurting so much. Nothing else, though. Nothing else. I didn't get to feel sick or nauseous at all. It's just...
Really? No fever? No,
nope, nothing. Clean, baby. Just the pain in the shoulder.
Just a clean hit?
Yeah.
Was it in, like, a huge aircraft hangar? That's where I have to imagine people getting their vaccines, even though it's often a chemist.
This one was down the road. And I live quite central, so it's... it was in, like, a conference center or something?
Yes. I've got my first one booked in for about 8 or 9 days away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Apparently, if you had COVID and if you had long COVID, even the first dose of the vaccine, like, really makes, like, that makes you feel amazing, like, clears up a lot of shit.
Oh, really?
I've heard it's been quite widely reported on, yeah.
Now, that doesn't... I wouldn't understand how that would work, because vaccines are preventative, right? Unless it teaches your antibodies to start fighting what's still in you. Is that the idea?
Yeah, and, like, you get an antibody boost, because nice. That's what the vaccine does. Like, makes your body make some. So maybe it does something. Yeah, I mean, it could be a placebo or it could be the real deal, depending. But I'm happy to believe it. I'll report back. But
well,
maybe I'll suddenly feel like I used to. I'll be like Willy Wonka when he rolls and stands up.
I feel broadly the same as I did before, although I do have this insatiable urge to buy Microsoft products. I've bought the full new Office suite. I've subscribed to the updates that I don't need. And I've got a Zune. Very hard to find. Very difficult to find. But it got me a Zune. I know someone who got COVID really badly, like in the first lockdown, like early on, really, really badly. He was in hospital for a while and he's like our age and it was genuinely touch and go. He got really, really badly, and it was like he was out of it for a couple of months maybe.
Yeah.
But the antibodies, he's now like a super, like his antibody system is insanely strong against COVID now because of how badly he went through it. So much so that he goes into the hospital like once a month to donate antibodies. Like he's now this insane COVID antibody factory because he got it so bad.
He's like the guy or the little girl in the zombie film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one who's immune.
He's Ellie in The Last of Us.
Oh, of course, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's amazing. I offered the NHS my antibodies, but they didn't get back to me.
They have this guy's. They don't need him.
That's true. That's to be fair. Yeah, they've got Bruce Banner coming in and hulking out into some test tubes. That sounds like wanking. I didn't mean that.
That's
very cool.
I met a fan in the queue, which is real nice. Lorenzo,
you met a fan in the
Lorenzo,
queue.
Lorenzo, shout out to Lorenzo, another EU national.
No way.
Yeah, he's saw on Instagram later that after our meeting, he bought a couple of tickets to my. I saw after our meeting on Instagram that he bought a couple of tickets to my Palladium show.
Nice.
That is guerrilla marketing, Pierre.
Stand in the queue for a vaccine.
Yeah.
Chat to people about what you do. You'll guarantee that no one will drop out on the day because they caught COVID.
That's true, exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's a real. You're really engaging in some selective bias for healthy audience members.
Yeah, it's like entertainment eugenics. Speaking of entertainment and not eugenics, thanks to all the podbuds who came to my Soho run.
Yes, the Soho run is Soho done for now.
For now, extra dates, 7th, 8th, 9th of June, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 9 p.m. if you couldn't make the 7 p.m. It is later this time.
Oh, lovely.
The extra dates.
Pierre After Dark.
Late Night Novelli.
Pierre Uncut, Uncensored. Do you remember there was like a boom period in the noughties of where there was a version of a thing and then there'd be the uncensored version of the thing? Like, I swear every movie had an uncensored version.
There was loads of that going around back when the DVD market was a thing.
Yeah, all the same red sticker strap banner across, I don't know, American Pie 4. Uncensored.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What? Who's going to see the censored version of American Pie?"
Also, yeah, but like, even the censored version would be like a 15 or whatever, right?
Mm.
And then the uncensored version, if you ever watched it, if you were like a desperately horny teenager, if you ever bothered to track down an uncensored version of a film with an entire plot to get through, not just some porn, which would obviously be much more efficient, but you want to see the uncensored film. And it's always like, oh, remember that scene where they're like in the jacuzzi and then the dog jumps in and it's very funny? In the uncensored version, it's about 63 minutes into the runtime. The girls who are topless in the jacuzzi and you don't see their breasts and nipples because of the bubbles, and the censored version, in this one you do because they get out because they run away from the dog.
Right.
It'll be like that. Yeah. And you go, come on. Whereas it's presented as if like...
There are whole extra scenes, just full sex scenes.
Yeah, there's whole extra scenes where like people who are actual non-sexual, non-porn star celebrities unaccountably just bang and jizz all over each other. In this otherwise completely comedy-based movie. It's like if all those celebrities were just in a porno which had some slapstick in. Yeah, it's never that. It's a bum shot.
But anyway, Pierre's extra date, he will not be wearing trousers. It'll just be your his velvet jacket and then penis and balls and hairy legs.
Well, my legs are so fat now from all my eating that I very nearly had to do that as a matter of course.
Had to just whip off your trousers.
No, we wouldn't get them on.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't get them on. I did get some trousers on in the end, but if I keep eating the way I'm eating, which is the way that a man who knows he's going to prison for life would eat, then there will be trouble. So I need to stop that. And I will probably still be wearing jeans on stage.
Yep. Unfortunately. And no shame in that.
Yeah.
No shame in
7th,
that.
8th, 7th, 8th, 9th of June. Phil's Palladium Recorders on the 12th.
If you were to sell one of your legs, Pierre, as like an artisan jamón ibérico, how much do you think that would go for? Because, I mean, like a normal size one goes for like hundreds of euros, one leg.
Oh.
Surprisingly expensive. Real shock on my trip to Spain when I was 19 and with no money. I was like, I'll just have a couple of slices of that nice ham, please. Sí, señor. Slice, 20 euros, please.
Yep. Yeah, you got to buy the whole leg if you want to make it worth your while. Buy it its own seat on the plane home.
How much do you think one of your legs would get?
Oh, I'd be surprised if we didn't hit quadruple figures.
Yeah. Yours is the magnum of jamón ibéricos.
They're big old legs. How big is a jamón ibérico? I'm going to look this up.
That's a full pig's leg, I guess.
It's a full pig's leg in here.
Hoof to hip. I think that's the phrase. From hoof to hip, it's jamón ibérico.
From hoof to hip. Also, to be fair, I also only eat acorns that naturally drop from trees.
Yeah,
so, the black Iberian pig.
Yeah, you can use some Pierre's to search for truffles.
Yes, often what people will do to make it less expensive to raise me is to have me find truffles while they fatten me up with acorns. Yeah,
truffle hunting has always sounded to me like the most badass, terrifying thing, because it's Italian farmers wandering around the forest with a pig on a leash, and they've got shotguns because truffles are so valuable. It's if you come across a truffling Italian man in the forest, run, because he will shoot your head off rather than let you know where the truffles are.
Well, quite right. I mean, what are you doing in the pig woods anyway?
Oh, you're not from around these parts, are you? Oh, you look lost, boy. These truffles are amazing, and they're mine and my pigs, so you better be scurrying on then, wouldn't you?
I don't know what the bloody hell you think you're doing coming around my gaff like this. These are my ends.
My family's been native to Tuscany for hundreds of years now, mate. And you think you're going to come around my gaff and take a mushrooms? I don't think so. You're having a laugh. Get him, Napoleon.
If you think I'm going to let you just have me mushrooms that are so valuable and delicious, you're having a fucking laugh, mate. Iberico ham is illegal in America.
What?
Yeah.
The food that is legal in America and this is illegal.
The first... So this CNN Money article. Frank Ferroni, one of the owners of La Española Meats in Los Angeles. Frank Ferroni, you want a big pig's leg, Dr. Frank Ferroni. A premier importer of Spanish food says he has no idea why the bureaucrats in the USDA allow only two of the more than 50 large purveyors of Serrano hams to be imported to the US shores.
Huh. How intriguing.
Wow. The amount of delicious European foods the Americans are willing to buy before child assault rifles.
I mean, is it just like protective American meat tariffs or something?
I mean, I don't know. I think it is just like they. So if it's something that hasn't been like completely like irradiated and boiled, then they don't want to let it in.
Yeah.
Like unpasteurized milk or cheese, you can't get in America either, I think.
Right.
Cheese, like I saw loads of memes. So, well, okay, let me just settle this thing first of all. So the back leg of a pig normally weighs between 7 and 8.5 kilos.
Good.
I mean, my legs weigh a lot more than that.
Yeah, I mean.
So yeah, I would say I would hope to get well over 1,000 pounds.
Well over 1,000 pounds. Yeah, I think that's fair.
So I've just seen 100% Iberico ham leg on the bone for 725.
Wow, pounds. Imagine buying a full leg of Iberica ham for your... Just personally.
Just for your cupboard.
Just for sandwiches.
Yeah, just for sandwiches, just for work. Put them in a little Tupperware box. Whistle like Fred Flintstone. Just going along.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So a separate thing that I discovered, because the only reason I just saw that Iberico ham was like illegal is because it was the suggested Google question, right?
Why is Serrano Iberico ham illegal in the US?
Well, I said, why is Iberico ham illegal?
Oh.
So obviously I clicked that thinking, well, it's not illegal. But obviously Google is mainly American.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So I kept seeing these memes about how expensive cheese is.
You keep seeing memes about how expensive cheese is. What, just generally expensive?
I saw a few memes about cheese being expensive.
Right.
Or that mentioned the expense of cheese.
This is just
in such a
way. This is in your day-to-day social media life, is it?
Well, sometimes I go on websites where it's just memes. It's just random memes.
Ah.
That's how I kill hours of my valuable time.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah. It's an absolute waste of time, and often I leave more annoyed than I am amused.
Okay, so there are memes about how cheese is expensive.
Or memes that mention it or refer to it in such a way that it appears to be presumed knowledge.
Okay.
So obviously this makes me think, well, most of the internet stuff we see comes from America. America's cultural dominance is so huge, it's to the point where it's causing problems.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I just went down this rabbit hole of like, well, apparently cheese is expensive in America.
Hmm. Is that why they have all those Kraft slices? Because the real cheese is prohibitively expensive. But then like cheese is such a part of like, they put it on everything.
I know, but it's always just Kraft slices. It's never like cheddar.
America's weird.
So here we go. excuse me.
Is this an explanation for the expensive cheese?
Well, so apparently it's basically impossible to import cheese.
Okay, right.
And also because of the scale of America, it's like impossible to have like a family-owned cheese-making facility. So like, or it's like much harder.
Mm.
But yeah, French cheese basically can't get in because. Here we go, because it's not pasteurized, or it's not often not pasteurized. But there's loads, like just Google, like why is cheese expensive? And it's just like page after page of like ask Jeeves, like ask whatever it is, like blah blah question, Quora, all these websites where you ask questions of other people who don't fucking know anything. Yahoo Answers. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Americans have had expensive cheese this whole time.
They have. Yeah, they have had expensive cheese. So hold on, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Poor guys, poor people.
Americans, please let us know what's going on with you and cheese.
Yeah, what is the problem? What is your problem?
It's old milk. I mean, you've got milk.
Ironically, pasteurization, French invention.
Yeah, and they hate him for it. A prophet is always despised in his own land, Phil.
Cheese is your... That's your Achilles heel, isn't it, Pierre? You love your cheese.
I love fat and salt. If you can show me something with fat and salt in it, I'm on board.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sugar, not so much.
Sugar, not so much. Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah, yeah. If you say to me, what's got fat and salt in it, I'm already, like, before you finish talking, it's in my mouth.
Eating cheese on its own, I'm like, if it's out, right. But I've never seen opportunity to just have cheese. You know what I mean? Maybe if I have a dinner party and I can't be asked to make a starter, I'll put out some cheese. But do you sit down and just have cheese?
You have it with stuff.
Like just on a cracker.
You could have it on a cracker or part of like a... You could make yourself a plowman's thing or like cheese and bread and an apple and, you know, like or put it on a sandwich. Or...
Like you're a hobbit traveling to Mordor.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Wow, I didn't realize you were a plowman, Pierre.
Oh, no, I don't do this because I try not to keep cheese in the house for the same reason a recovering alcoholic tries not to keep vodka in the house.
What's your favorite type of cheese? What's your Achilles cheese?
My Achilles cheese? I just like it all, man. Cheddar, brie, gruyere.
Gruyere for Pruyere.
Gruyere. Halloumi. Although halloumi is kind of a meme cheese. Like people...
Yeah, halloumi is kind of a miracle cheese. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, but they've decided to go on about how much they love halloumi, and it's good, but I mean, you know.
It's very tasty. And if you like salt, my goodness. Do you like the bluey stinkies?
Yeah, I'll dabble in a bluey stinky.
Someone called Pierre has got to love a bluey stinky.
Sometimes you'll see a green one.
Ooh, yum, 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 yum. You like Roquefort?
Saint-Agur? Yeah. Yes, Saint-Agur. And what's the bloody one that's full of, like, garlic?
Oh, garlic cheese.
No, it's like, it's... Oh, God. I need to know what this is called. It's going to bug me.
You know what I love? A Comté. You ever had a Comté?
Comté.
A hard French cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Bloody delish. Bloody delish.
The cheese I'm thinking of, Phil, is Boursin.
Boursin. That's like a soft cheese spread.
And it's rammed with flavor.
That's like cheese jam, Boursin.
Yes, that is. Yeah, I would agree with that. Oh, it's so good. Oh, Lord, save me from all the delicious cheese out there.
That sounded like Frank Skinner.
Do you think?
Yeah, you sound like Frank Skinner just then.
Maybe that's who I channel when I pray or when I mention cheese.
That makes sense.
Maybe. Do you not like cheese?
I went through a period of really being into brie and having brie on crackers a good bit. Yeah.
You were crackers for brie on crackers.
What's nice about cheese is, as someone who loves red wine, I can't really drink red wine on its own. It has to be with food because the food brings out the taste in the wine that is supposed to be there.
So I
don't really drink wine on its own. Unless it's white wine. Mm-hmm. But look, hey, this isn't the Phil's Wine Podcast. Is it? No. What cheese?
You wouldn't even have it as part of a plowman's booze?
Well, what's really good about cheese is that it goes well, a lot of it goes well with a lot of red wine. And it's just something to put in your mouth if you're not having dinner. It's just something to put in your mouth for the proteins to react with that wine and for you to get the full taste of the wine out. So that's why it tends to be served with wine, cheese, red wine.
Right.
Yeah. That's why I got into it for a while.
So you you got into cheese as a cover story for why you were drinking all that booze.
It worked for the French.
It did, yeah. Did you grow up with cheese? How East Asian was your cheese exposure earlier?
Well, not very much at all, yeah. Dairy is hard to find in Malaysia. And in East Asia in general, I mean, like, one of Australia's main exports is powdered milk to China. You know, there's it's just they're just not very dairy cultures. Finding fresh milk is really hard in Malaysia.
Really?
Yeah, really, really hard. Milk is mostly condensed or powdered. And so, yeah, only certain supermarkets would have, like, fresh milk. Cheese, yeah, we didn't have much cheese at all. You can imagine eating, like, cheese, like, in a very hot climate is not pleasant. Like, that kind of clinging to your mouth sensation, like, and it's steaming hot. It doesn't really go together.
With some warm wine.
Yeah, most of the cheese you would, I guess, there'd only be cheese at fast food places, like cheese sauce at KFC or like the cheese in a burger or something. But that's like cheapo American cheese.
And like Gloop that will never go off.
Yeah. Gloop that doesn't burn. Have you seen those videos of someone like literally holding a slice of Kraft cheese on a hob, turning on the flame, and it doesn't melt?
What?
Yeah. It kind of like warps a bit and blackens like a piece of plastic, but it doesn't melt.
That's not cool, man.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all, thank you, no.
Yeah.
That's awful. Oh, God. It's like when you see when the people put a Big Mac in Perspex and it doesn't rot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So if you went to a supermarket in Malaysia where they had fresh milk, would it just be full of honkies?
Yeah. It would be at the, like, the honky supermarket, the sort of expat supermarkets would have them.
Yeah.
The smart places.
There'd be a bunch of Malaysians outside being like, oh, they always come here for their milk.
Also, keep in mind, you know, a lot of Chinese people are lactose intolerant. Like, my dad is basically lactose intolerant. And because they've never developed the enzyme for lactose, because it's never been a big part of the diet.
Yeah, the Japanese are over 90% lactose intolerant, and the Irish are the other way around.
Yeah, the Irish are 90% intolerant to anything that isn't milk.
Guinness is actually milk. You heard it here first.
The bit on the top, that's milk. The white bit.
That's how you know, yeah.
But it's mad. It's mad this how something like that can be genetic.
Do you think that that is the one way that we can counteract the growing might of red China? Is that if we just make them all have something really milky, they'll fart and shit themselves to death?
Two words, milk aerosol. Milk aerosol deployed on the field.
like World War One, just like the smoke.
Yeah, they're like, what is that, mustard gas? No, full fat.
It's red label. No.
We're gonna have to deploy the gold tops. But sir, I said deploy the gold tops.
Oh, what is it? What's that smell? It's creamy. Sir, it's working. They're pooping.
I mean, then, it's not a crazy idea, to be completely frank. It's not. I've heard sillier ideas.
A guy, you get a cow to like stand up, right? Mm. And then a guy stands behind the cow and like squirts the milk like it's an anti-aircraft gun, like all four udders, like.
Yeah.
No. I mean, you know, it's an idea.
It's an idea. You can't say it's not an idea.
If you're gonna criticize our idea for counteracting the might of red China with milk bombs, well then you better criticize it while you have a better idea ready to go.
Yeah, only constructive criticism here, please, about weaponized milk.
I'd like that because China and also India as well, but let's, China's the scarier one, I think.
And also India. I mean, if anyone can take their milk, it's India.
they clarify their butter. They want their butter to be even more buttery. And they enjoy that. If you want, like, I want to hear a conspiracy that, so China and India, the obesity rates are, like, rocketing up, right?
Oh, are they?
Yeah. I mean, think about how not fat both of those populations were up until even the end of the Cold War.
Yeah, but why now?
Because they have McDonald's and dairy and beef and sugar and fat.
Yeah,
and
but that's like a 90s kind of thing. Now it's all vegan and health food and all that sort of thing.
Vegan? What's vegan? That's a Western thing.
Well, so much... okay. Right. I maintain that the whole fast food thing, this is quite late to be seeing the results of that in India and China.
Dude, but like rural China did not have a McDonald's before the end of the Cold War. The Soviet Union didn't.
Right.
Also, remember, sugar and fat and potatoes are vegan.
Yeah.
Like, there are fully Hindu and Jain compliant McDonald's in India.
Right, sure.
And you can get, like, an extra large double, you know, kulfi or mango lassi or whatever, and, like, vegan burgers. And
can you get a mango lassi at McDonald's in India?
I think you can, yeah. Maybe it's kulfi or what was it? I saw the Indian McDonald's menu and it blew my mind.
Oh, my days. A McDonald's mango lassi. I'm genuinely salivating right now.
Have you been to a McDonald's in Germany? You can just get lager.
Really?
Yeah, they have lager on like a little machine.
Oh my god!
You have an absolutely massive pint with your McDonald's.
Oh my god!
And they don't even need to have bouncers in their McDonald's. Not like here.
Well, I mean, in Malaysia, KFC and I know KFC, maybe Burger King and stuff, but you can get rice in the meals.
Some of these options that are unique to Indian McDonald's are the Veg Pizza McPuff.
What? There's so many different names of food in it.
Veg Pizza McPuff.
A Veg Pizza McPuff. So like, is that? I'm guessing that's like a calzone, a little puff.
Well, if it isn't, aren't you just a little Veg Pizza McPuff? Maharaja Mac.
Wow, what's that?
I think it's like a Big Mac. It says choose veg or chicken. A McAloo Tikki. Sort of potato patty. A McSpicy Paneer.
McSpicy Paneer.
Dosa Masala Burger.
McSpicy Paneer. Sounds like... it sounds like... a borderline racist nickname for like a legendary... Sikh soldier in the British Army. But it wasn't racist at the time.
At the time, it was very affectionate because he saved the whole...
That's it. But they called...
Yeah.
They called him McSpicy Paneer.
Yeah.
He was part of the Scottish Highlanders. But...
Yeah, he was a Sikh who got transferred to the Highland Regiment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And he got a Victoria Cross.
Yeah, and now there's a lot of controversy about whether or not the monument to him should be A, erected, and B, have a little explainer that his nickname is offensive now, but wasn't at the time.
Yeah.
But he didn't get enough recognition. But also, yeah, endless footnotes. The McAloo Tikki Burger, the one that never goes out of flavor.
What?
That's what it says. Favor, never goes out of favor. They put an L in brackets. Flavor.
Right, okay. Yeah, okay. A bit too much going on, I'd say.
There's a lot going on because things... You don't say when something doesn't taste nice, you don't go, well, that's out of flavor.
I think someone just saw an opportunity for a pun and just couldn't let it pass.
Okay, so Phil, this is a good game. This is like Tat. What do you think the McAloo Tikki Burger is?
Well, aloo is potato, isn't it?
Yes.
So McAloo Tikki... Now, this is where I have to second guess. Is it tiki in reference to tikka or tiki in reference to Hawaiian stuff? Because
I don't think it's Hawaiian, okay. Although I would also have made that. It's two Ks, weirdly.
Right, so is it like, can you make tikka potato?
Sort of, yeah. So it's a It doesn't look, well, I was going to say it doesn't look very delicious. It looks like McDonald's. You know what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Toy food.
A golden fried vegetarian patty prepared with peas and potato and infused with aromatic spices.
In a bun.
And then it's got, yeah, in a bun. So it's got tomato, shredded red onion, and a kind of tomato mayonnaise.
That's a lot of starch. That's a carb hit.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, this is what I'm talking about, being everyone been fat.
Right, yeah.
They're getting fat, man. And I want to see a conspiracy theory that the West is giving our horrible foods to them to sabotage their development as countries.
That's interesting.
China has... diabetes rate is shooting up. India's diabetes rate is shooting up. They're all getting big and fat.
But America, the home of obesity, is a very powerful nation. So it obviously hasn't held them back.
Yeah, but it's declining.
Hmm.
And America, if you get fat and die of a heart attack, America doesn't make anyone pay for it.
Right, yes.
You just die. Yeah. What do you think's in this next one? McEgg.
McEgg is just an egg burger, is it?
Yes. It's an egg. And the slogan is, because eggs are great any time of the day. I guess so. Would you care for a midnight egg?
I do like an egg. I had an egg for lunch. I had the lunch of a lazy Chinese uncle. I had rice and a fried egg. Ooh. On top, and some soy sauce and some chili oil.
Very good. Lazy Chinese uncle. That's a good name for that dish.
Lazy Chinese uncle. That's
good.
So sunny side. How do you want your egg? Sunny side up? Lazy Chinese uncle? Oh, I'll get lazy Chinese uncle, please.
Oh, yes, please. Dosa masala burger, a McVeggie. They still have a McChicken.
McSpicy paneer is actually a lovely name. I'm really coming around to it.
It's a crispy and spicy paneer patty with creamy tandoori sauce and a lettuce topping.
That sounds lovely.
It does sound lovely.
McSpicy
paneer wrap. It's got all the chicken options. And the Maharaja Mac. It's basically a vegetarian Big Mac.
Well, it all sounds fantastic.
Yeah. What about Chinese McDonald's? But I think that's the conspiracy theory, is that they'll be... If they'd stayed as healthy as they were before we started giving them artificial plastic food that gives you diabetes and makes you fat and gets you addicted. And remember, makes the West all the money. They're all Western companies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the conspiracy theory. We're getting money... We're making money as we're making their population less able to fight.
Right, okay. Interesting. Yes. I think it's as far as conspiracy theories go, it's a good one.
It's one of those ones that I would have thought I'd have seen by now somewhere else.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's a bit too plausible, Pierre. That's why it hasn't really caught on in conspiracy circles. It's a bit too sensible.
Yeah, I need to involve. You're in an uncanny valley, Pierre.
You're in the conspiracy theory uncanny valley between the believable and the unbelievable, where no one is going to get interested.
You got to chuck an Elvis in there.
Yeah. Hey, did you see in China you're going to have three kids now?
Yeah, you can have three fat little kids.
I was watching this BBC like Vox Pops thing. A BBC reporter out on the streets in China is asking Chinese people if they would want to have three kids, and they're all like, no! They're all like, absolutely not. Two is enough. The kids are right there, and they're like, these two are enough of a fucking nightmare. And then the kids are just there like... Mm. And there's one little girl who's like, man, I want a little brother, a little sister. And the mum's like, no, absolutely not. It's really funny, actually.
Also, it's like Chinese parents that the BBC are speaking to in the street of Beijing. So they're like, these two little fucking monsters are enough of a problem. And you look and one of them is playing the cello. The other one is just reading through their amazing exam results. And you think, yeah, I can see why you wouldn't want three. Maybe it's because they see parenting as such a big project, like Tiger Mum.
Yeah. It's a big deal. It's a real commitment, I guess.
Whereas if you raise your kids like an outside dog, you're like, yeah, three, four, whatever.
I
don't even see them the whole
time. I sometimes think, you know, the one-child policy generation, Like, imagine growing up where the words brother and sister were completely abstract, completely conceptual.
There was something that only your parents would say.
And there would have been a period where even the parents wouldn't have, right? Or like, there must have been.
I suppose
it was on for a while, wasn't it?
They did it region by region, I think. But yeah, so if someone was like, "I have a brother," you'd be like, "What are you, 60?"
Yeah.
So weird. But also because the culture is so biased towards baby boys.
Yeah.
And there were all those secret abortions if people had girls.
That's right.
There's like 10 million extra men.
Yeah, there is. China.
10 million horny men.
China is throbbing with men. It's raining men in China.
It's raining men in Shenzhen. 10 million horny boys, Phil, looking for someone to fuck, and there's no one.
It's raining Tiananmen, Pierre. It's raining Tiananmen.
What are they going to do? This is another, like, historically, when one population gets far too many, like, young men competing for resources, you get, like, you know, Vikings.
Yeah, it's not good. It's never a good precursor to the country's next couple of decades, having too many unsatisfied young men. It doesn't work out well.
Yeah, you go, right, we've got lots of young men who can't get jobs, and they're really horny, and they're all under 30, and there aren't any women. You go, uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah, that way disaster lies.
Someone's going to come along and offer them hats and guns.
I guess it would be fine if there was a country out there with the opposite problem, but there isn't. There is, if there was like some Amazonian nation out there that we could just...
Ladyland?
Yeah, we could just do a swap or something.
It's also a problem because if these guys are all Han Chinese, they don't probably... You know, I mean, the way China's attitude to its own minorities is not exactly progressive.
Uh-huh.
So if all 10,000 of them are Han Chinese, and it's like, well,
10
there's
million.
Some... if all 10 million of them are Han Chinese, and they're like, there's some guys who are kind of Turkic over here, and that's like, nope. Not going to happen. Even if India had not done the same thing and had 10 million extra women, instead of also having 10 million extra men,
yeah,
they would... Neither government would be in favor of that exchange program.
Yeah, it's in the way that beggars can't be choosers, an extra 10 million can't be picky.
is the next generation of Chinese people going to be even like so beautiful because the level of selection, like all the men will be so handsome? It'd be the opposite of Russia.
The opposite of...
Because that happened in Russia after World War II.
What happened?
Well, there's just no men.
Right. Oh, right.
That's why,
yeah,
I mean, like, Vladimir Putin, I mean, his power aside, Vladimir Putin looks like a sad eagle.
Gosh, I never thought about
and
that.
You and I, the surfer you and I both know people who've lived in Russia, and they all come back and say the same thing, or visited there, and they say all the men look like furious
how has
angry,
it stayed
angry.
So masculine a country?
Well, they came back from war, and they were like, I know I look like a potato, but I can choose from 14 women.
Oh, yeah, of course. Lovely.
So, but China's going to have the opposite. China's going to have all these girls. Like, which of the 10 million bachelors will I select? Like a huge reality show.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they're going to have to do The Bachelor, but not even for TV, just every day, just as a civic service.
The Bachelor, but the first layer of filtering is just like huge metrics, like height.
I mean, it's gonna end up on apps, and I think I saw a while back like there are these parents, I think in Beijing or Shanghai, and there's a park or a spot in a particular park in the city where these parents of unmarried men, they just go to the park and they have photos of their sons and they talk to other parents and like they don't even consult their sons, and they stick pictures of their sons on trees and stuff, like they're missing, but they aren't.
Like
they're just
lost
looking
dogs.
For a wife.
Like a lost dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
At what point, though, do your parents get so... Like, what's so wrong with these guys?
Well, nothing. They're just extra.
I guess they're just...
They're men.
They're just not already rich.
They're just spare men.
But if you have a daughter, do you ever go to the Lonely Man Dog Park?
Well, this is it, yeah. Surely it's just parents of lonely sons meeting other parents of lonely sons.
It's an indirect sausage fest. It's just a bunch of parents meeting up going, "No one will fuck my son." And a load of other parents going, "Me too. Put his face on a tree like he's been kidnapped." That's mad.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I've got some of the 10 awesome McDonald's foods you can only get in China.
Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm. Pineapple pie.
Pineapple pie. Mm-hmm. Like the McDonald's apple pie, but with pineapple in it.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It's got pineapple in it,
delish.
Boy. It looks pretty good.
Please.
Taro pie.
Taro. Lovely little taro, a little root.
It's a root, yeah. It's a root. It's all purpley.
That's right. It's sort of yammy and yummy.
Yeah. Yummy, yummy. Sichuan double chicken burger.
That sounds fantastic, to be honest.
Yeah, it does. It seems pretty... I mean, it's McDonald's. Congee. You can get congee.
Wow, yeah. I think you can get
that
in Malaysia.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Not McDonald's.
God, at McDonald's.
Maybe.
My God, it's a side dish at McDonald's.
That's crackers.
A customer can order congee of 3 different varieties.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
No fucking way. It's only available in the morning. Oh my God, that's the equivalent of a...
Yeah, that's their McMuffin.
McMuffin. Salted egg yolk with chicken. Chicken with preserved egg and pickled cabbage with bamboo shoot.
All the stoners in China are campaigning to have it all day. Come on, dude. Do congee all day, man.
Come on, man. If I don't get here before 10 a.m. and you... I can't get my pickled cabbage with bamboo shoot congee. It's fucking bullshit, man. What are you, like the time police? And then in China, they're like, yes.
Yeah, we do have that division, yeah.
We will call the time police if you do not leave. Red bean boba tea.
Oh, God. The Chinese love some red bean. I could never get on board with red bean. Red bean was the bane of my fucking life growing up. You'd ask for a dessert, and they'd be like, of course you can have dessert. Here's some beans. Horrible.
Like a really low-stakes prank. Let's see if he notices that we've actually given him beans.
Mmm, yum. Who needs cake when I have beans?
Is it just the sugariest thing that grows in China?
No, they add sugar to it. They put it in a sweet sauce. I don't know why.
I mean, I've seen...
I have no idea
I've
why.
Seen that thing where it's like red bean like in a bun and it's supposed to be a dessert, like a sweet
donut.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
And you'll see some well-meaning Western menu translating it like, it's kind of like a donut, like a bit like a jam donut.
Yeah.
It wasn't, Phil. It was like a jam lime.
Yeah, beans.
Disgusting. Red bean bobby.
I don't miss the red beans.
No, man. I tried them once in London, I think with you, actually, and I was not impressed. Just a paste. Bean paste. Spicy McWings. It's basically
that's fine.
Like
that's normal.
It looks like stepping into the Colonel's territory there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Criss-cut fries.
Like grids.
Ooh.
Potato grids.
Bizarre combos.
That's the name of the dish?
Yeah, and an excellent trumpet player. you can get like 5-person combos.
5-person combos?
Yeah, so they're offering all these like bigger combos than just like a one meal.
That's just to encourage,
which is very Chinese.
That's to encourage parents to have 3 kids now.
It's and it's also just you know, only decadent Western capitalist culture would have an individual meal deal.
Yeah, very wasteful.
Wasteful. You will eat with your neighbors.
It comes, yeah. The 5-person combos comes with a McLazy Susan. They can spin around.
A lazy Ronald.
Lazy
big
Ronald.
Clown's face. A Japanese beef bowl.
Wow. You Japanese beef bowl. What are you doing? Get out of here, Japanese who's the beef bowl.
Hey, who's the Japanese beef bowl? And now, Phil, I will give you £20
okay.
if you can guess the nationality of the final item.
Huh.
We've already had Japanese beef bowl, bit of a surprise. Yeah. There were some wings earlier. Yeah. Weird combos, criss-cut fries. So this final example here. You don't have to guess even what it okay. is. Just I want the country.
Portugal.
No, but it's as weird, I think. So you can get, apparently, the German sausage double beef burger. What?
I went too logical. I was like, Macau, Portugal, egg tarts are quite popular. Portugal. No.
Oh, clever. Yeah. Clever boy.
Tried too hard. Tried to be too clever.
No, it's just German German sausage double beef burger. Is there much of a German? I guess Tsingtao Lager is from the...
That's true.
The Germans used to run Shanghai, didn't they?
Well, Tsingtao, wasn't it? Did they run Shanghai as well?
Do they have Shanghai as well?
I don't know. Anyway, this has been a fun deep dive into the McDonald's menus of the world. Unexpected.
Unexpected, but delicious. The Shanghai International Settlement. Okay, it was a sort of a bit British and a bit American. Oh, how weird. How weird. Anyway,
thanks,
yes.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Go get your jab, and remember to buy Microsoft.
Remember to buy Microsoft. Extra date, Soho, 7th, 8th, 9th of June, coming up 9 p.m. Phil at the London Palladium, 12th of June.
12th of June. See me and Lorenzo there.
See him there.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.